Good morning, everybody. He is risen. I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. If you don't know me, my name is Mike, and I am the pastor here at Christ Community Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If Christ Community is your home, I'm so glad that you are here with us. We miss you terribly. Today, I've been thinking about that a lot, and the Lord's been doing a big work on my heart, even as I've missed you. I hope he's been doing the same. I've been praying for you. And if you're somewhere else, and especially if you don't have a church home, I just want to let you know that I'm so glad that you're here. I'm glad that you've been able to join with us today, at least online. I want you to know that there is a God, a living God, who is love. And it isn't by chance or coincidence that you've arrived here in front of whatever screen you're in front of and joined us online. Look, if you know of someone who might want to join us this morning, but doesn't have Facebook Live or Facebook, then you can also join us at cccfortwayne.org. We have the feed going right there too, so you don't even have to log into Facebook for it. So please join us there and invite people to join us this morning even as we worship. I want to start us right by reading the word. This is from the book of Revelation chapter 1. When Jesus appeared to John, this is what it says starting in verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me. See, Jesus' right hand held the stars, which meant that he held the control over all of the church. They all were in his hands. He laid that right hand on him and said, "Fear not. I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." This Jesus is the one we've come to worship today. This Jesus, while you're at home or wherever you're at, this Jesus is what Easter is all about. This Jesus, as the book of Revelation puts it, makes it clear that he is the foundation, the very foundation of all of God's promises. See, in Isaiah chapter 65, God says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress." All of God's promises and his very promise to make all things new find its foundation in Jesus, in the risen Christ. And my friends, that is amazing news for us. That is amazing news. But it isn't new news, is it? It isn't just that we've been celebrating this for 2,000 years. God said in his word long, long, long before Jesus came to be with us. He said in Isaiah chapter 25, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken, and it will be said on this day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And then one chapter later in Isaiah says, The prophet says, O Lord, in distress they sought you. That's his people who were exiled and away from God and away from their loved ones and away from their land. In distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them, like pregnant women who writhe and cries out in her pangs when she is near to giving birth. So were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we have given birth to wind. It's the people who have lost hope. We have accomplished no deliverance in the earth. We haven't done what you told us. And the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. This is what God says in verse 19. Your dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake, sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. This is God's plan. Resurrection is God's plan for victory over everything. It wasn't just that Jesus was raised and then, well, I guess that has something to do with us. This has everything to do with our lives right now. Right now. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul has this amazing whole chapter, long chapter on the resurrection, saying why it is so fundamental that Jesus rose from the dead and why it's so fundamental that we will too. He ends that chapter with this. I tell you this, brothers. I'm starting in verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this last verse in verse 58. Therefore, on the basis of what Paul just said, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The resurrection is the guarantee that your life matters now. Period. It matters. It matters what you're going through. It matters. It matters what you've done. It matters. It matters the things that God has done in your life. It matters the sorrows that you felt and the joys that you felt and the celebrations that you've had. And yes, the time of social distancing. All of these things matter because of the resurrection. And so today, as I've said for the last few weeks, I want to encourage you, see the gift of this moment. See the gift of this moment. Double down on Jesus. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but what we're talking about here is not just where you go when you die. We're talking about the one, about gaining Jesus fully, about grasping hold of him. He is our reward. He and he alone is our reward, and we get everything through him. Put him clearly in your focus. Double down on him. It's because of him that we can come to the Lord in prayer and that we can be assured that God hears us. We're going to take a few moments here to pray together. And I want to invite you, if you have any prayer requests, to share them on our Facebook feed. Now, be conscious of the fact that Facebook is public, so whatever you write here will be public too. But I would be glad to pray for you. We've got a few things here already. We're, of course, continuing to pray that the virus that has us locked up in some ways as a society, that would stop spreading, that those who have been affected by it, who have the virus, will be healed. Lord God, heal them. And we're praying for all the medical workers who are on the front lines, all the people who are actually risking their lives to help other people. And we're going to pray against worry and isolation. We're going to pray about the financial stress that so many people who are already on the margins are being pushed over into just stress and anxiety and hardship because of all of this. But our Lord God is a provider. Prayer is speaking to God out of our weakness. In Romans chapter 8, as Paul just got done talking about how we groan with the creation for the redemption of our bodies, talking about the resurrection, the full adoption that we will gain in the resurrection, he says, just like we groan that way, he says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what to pray. The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Spirit prays with us because we're weak. And that is what prayer is, calling out to God in our weakness, knowing that He alone can do something about it. And so we're going to pray for these things. Thank you all who shared something on Facebook. Please continue to pray and to give us your prayer request. There is a link on our website that you can go to share prayer requests and know that someone will be praying for you throughout the week. So please go there. I'm going to pray through all of these things, and then we're going to finish with the Lord's Prayer together. And when we do, know that at Christ Community, we say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We don't say debt and debtors, right? We just use a little bit of a different wording. So just a heads up on that. But if you want to pray alongside of us at home, please do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, on a day that I looked on the weather report even late last night, and it said that it would be 100% cloud cover, and yet the sun shines through onto my face. I'm reminded that there is nothing and no one who can stop you or compare to you. You are the living God. You provide for all of our needs. And even though we can't gather in the same place, that doesn't mean that Easter is canceled. Because it isn't just a religious experience. It isn't just something we do. We're celebrating a fact. We're celebrating our Lord Jesus, who lives and reigns and fights for us. God, encourage us wherever we're at, even though we can't be together. Encourage us through worshiping together that in one Spirit we really are together. Lord Jesus, continue to pour out your grace upon your people. Continue to pour out your grace upon this world. Lord, we ask that you would put an end to this virus. Lord, we ask that you would protect those who are working to save lives and to protect others. Lord, we ask that you would care for the needy, care for those who are suffering and stressed beyond their limits. Lord, give wisdom to our leaders in our city and in our state and in our country and in our world, God. We are all suffering through this together. And yet not all have the hope of Jesus. And so we pray that you would continue to open blind eyes, unstop deaf ears. Be gracious to save many through this pandemic. Lord, we pray for perseverance. We pray for endurance. And we know your word teaches us that endurance is you bring that into our lives through suffering, through longing, and through hardship. Lord, continue to work that out in our lives. Don't let us go. Don't leave us. Don't forsake us, Lord God. We trust you. Lord, we pray for our brother Dick, who has been having such incredible back pain. And thank you that he could get some medical treatment for that this week. But Lord, we ask that you would allow that treatment to take full effect, and that as it does, as he feels relief from the pain, and in the midst of coming out of that, he would praise you loudly with all of his heart and all of his soul. We pray for all those who are shut in. We pray for Diana, for Don, for Howard, for all those who are at facilities in this area who are at great risk. Lord, keep this virus out of those places and preserve the life of your people. Lord, we bring these things to you because we can trust you with everything. And we can't do any of this for ourselves. But Lord, with joy, your word assures us that we are your children, that you delight in hearing from your children. So Lord, strengthen, encourage, and send us out, even in the midst of this, in whatever ways are loving to our neighbors, send us out to proclaim your word in every thought, in every word, in every deed. Open up opportunities for us. We ask all these things, O Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer. If you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to open that to Matthew chapter 27. We're going to be right at the end of Matthew chapter 27, working into Matthew 28. We're reading out of the English Standard Version this morning. And, you know, I say this every week, but if you were here this morning, this would be the point where you might be picking up a Bible in the seats in our sanctuary. And I would tell you, if you don't have a Bible of your own, that you're going to take that Bible that you're holding with you. We don't want to see it anymore. We want it to be in your hands. And even though we can't be together in the same room, I want to invite you to the same thing. If you do not have a Bible of your own, I have Bibles. Please get a hold of me. You can find my email address at the church website. I'm easy to find. Get a hold of me. I want to get you a Bible. When I start reading, I'm going to say, hear the word of the Lord. And what I'm doing, my friends, is I'm calling you to an action. I'm calling you to receive the word of God with faith and to believe every word. And then when I get done, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And right then, I'm calling you to celebrate with me that the Lord God, the living God, has spoken. And I invite you to praise him by responding wherever you're at, thanks be to God. I'll be starting in verse 57 of chapter 27 and going to chapter 28, verse 10. So my friends, hear the word of the Lord. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and they took hold of his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. This truly is your word, God. And it is this moment in all of history that we have to wrestle with most, because it is the moment that makes all the difference. If this happened, Lord, and we believe that it did, it changes everything. It changes everything. Don't let us pretend. Don't let us pretend that we can do anything less than run to Jesus. Wherever there might be a heart that is hardened against your word, Lord God, give them a new heart. Call them to yourself. Lord, and for those who are gathered here together online, worshiping you, Lord, strengthen and encourage and pour life into them at the news of your resurrection. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Easter sermon is always one of the hardest ones to do. Not because the message really changes, it doesn't. Because I don't know who's gonna be there and what it is that God wants to speak to you the last few days, I've gotten a sense that God is leading me to speak to two groups. Some of you have been going through your life as though God is just a rumor. That God may be somewhere out there, but he doesn't really have anything to do with your life. And then there are others, the other group, who are here to find some hope right now. But you're experiencing fear and isolation. My friends, I have good news for both of you. I want you to know right away that this is where I'm coming from. If the resurrection of Jesus didn't happen, then what we're doing here means nothing. It may make us feel good, but that's pretty fleeting and amounts to nothing. But if Jesus rose from the dead, just like he said he would, then the whole world has changed. And you can't go on pretending that it hasn't. So let's talk about what happened. And let's talk about why it matters so much. Let's start with just the simple fact. Jesus died. He wasn't mostly dead, for all you Princess Bride fans. He was buried. His body was prepared for burial in the normal way, and he was laid in a tomb. And that body remained dead until the third day. This isn't by accident, and it isn't God's plan B. See, what we looked at last week and during this week was that Jesus died at around 3 in the afternoon on what they called the day of preparation. At sundown, the Sabbath would begin, and this particular Sabbath held a lot of significance because it was also during the Passover week. It was a high holy day for the Jewish people. So if they were going to give Jesus a proper Jewish burial, they needed to do it quickly. It was getting late. So a disciple of Jesus named Joseph went and asked for the body. Now, considering that Jesus was executed as a criminal against Rome, and that Joseph was also part of the council that condemned Jesus, though he didn't go along with it, him going and asking for the body, that probably took some guts. Pilate gave him the body, and they took it, and they wrapped it in clean linen according to the custom of Jewish burial, and laid it in a tomb that Joseph had cut out of the rock for himself, and he put a huge stone in front of the entrance to protect against animals and grave robbers. You see, Isaiah 53 tells us exactly what that means. In verses 8 and 9, says that he was cut out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Jesus, the innocent one, died for us. God's word teaches that his death is the penalty for sin. That death itself is the penalty for sin. And the last enemy that will be in existence is death. And there is a reason the church confesses that Jesus died and was buried. If he did not die, he could not pay the penalty for our sin. He did it for your sake and for mine. Now, let's turn back to the story. As the religious leaders went to Pilate because they were nervous that Jesus' disciples were going to steal the body and start circulating a story that he rose from the dead. So Pilate kind of rolls his eyes and says, hey, go take care of it. You got guards. And at the end of the Sabbath, Jesus' tomb was shut with a large stone, sealed with a wax seal that would have to be broken if anybody messed with it. And there was a detachment of guards, probably from the temple, guarding it and securing it. So on the morning of the third day, there was a great earthquake. and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who had witnessed Jesus' death, his burial, now were coming to the tomb. And this is what they found. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. He was bright. His clothing was white as snow, and for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. That's what the women walked into. They had come to mourn. What they stumbled into was terrifying. But the angel on that rock said to them, "Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." They took a peek. I got to imagine they took a peek. And they ran away. And Matthew says they ran away with fear and with great joy. Fear and joy. Maybe that in itself is good news for us this morning. Church, Easter is the biggest day of celebration for us throughout the whole year. I mean, we show up here Easter morning ready to celebrate. We're ready to sing. We're ready to sing loud. We're ready to clap. We're ready to throw our hands up. Well, I mean, some of us are. I mean, this is a Reformed church after all. It's the most joyful, bright, loud celebration we have all year. Your pastor gets super, super yelly. I get to scream out, "He is risen," and hear you shout back, "He is risen indeed." I get to, you shake noisemakers, and the kids have these pom-poms. There isn't another day in our year like this. But a friend of mine named Sean, another pastor, pointed this out to me this week. When we look at that first Easter, the experience of those women was not exactly celebration, was it? Those moments when with the angel are characterized by joy, yes, but also fear, confusion. They quickly left that tomb knowing that everything had changed, but nothing was resolved. And maybe that is good news for us today. Not maybe, that is good news for us today. We say Christ is risen with great joy, and yet, let's be honest, we feel isolated and anxious, confused, and afraid. We can't be together. It's pretty hard to clap and shout for very long on your own. I was really thankful for my friend Wes from the Nazarene Church across the street coming, and just we could shout to the whole neighborhood together this morning. Maybe right now, you understand a little bit of what those women were going through that morning. They left that empty tomb not having a clue what was going to happen next. But this, church, is that moment of sudden, this is the sudden joyous turn in the story. It's the moment when Jesus meets them. And he says, "Greetings." He says, "Hey," I love that. I mean, what else is Jesus going to say, I guess, but that's objectively awesome. And the women run to Jesus and they cankle him. And I mean, you know what cankle means? They go and they wrap their arms around his ankles and they worship him. Look, today may be a fear of joy and fear. Or confusion for you. Listen to what Jesus said to the women that day. "Do not be afraid." They didn't just find an empty tomb. They found the living Lord. My friends, Jesus lives and reigns. And he is there with you. Now, I want to address the elephant in the room. Kind of going back to the religious leaders, they went to Pilate because they knew that this sort of story, that Jesus rising from the dead, would be far more of a problem for them than anything he ever did in his life. And you know what? They were totally right. But what they hadn't seemed to consider, and what you need to consider this morning, you have to consider this morning. What if it actually happened? What if it actually happened? This is the elephant in the room. Because many of us walk through our lives thinking that there is a God. And if there is a God, he's distant and he somehow just wants us to be good. Just try your best to be good. I'm going to let you in on a secret. God doesn't give a rip about your best. The truth is, your best falls way short. The Son of God did not have to die so that you would maybe try your best. He isn't going around making good Christians. And this isn't just about where you end up when you die either. It is about that, but not just about that. It's about so much more. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, then God has broken into our lives and begun to powerfully overturn all the destruction and the bloodshed and the death that has happened on account of sin. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, then your life, this life has hope. This life has purpose. And we can be freed of guilt and shame and condemnation. Lord, thank you for your sunshine. If Jesus has been raised from the dead, then God has begun to come through on his promise, that promise we read from Isaiah, to make all things new. If Jesus lives, this is the great elephant in the room. If Jesus lives, everything hangs on this one thing. And there can't be any in between. You can't sit on the fence. God either raised him bodily from the dead or he didn't. The story leaves us no room to think that there was some sort of just spiritual awakening or mass delusion or just like an apparition or a ghost of Jesus appeared. See, the people back then understood exactly what you understand right now. The dead stayed dead. His body, his dead body, was raised to life. Those women on that road that morning wrapped their arms around his real physical feet and worshiped him. When we say he is risen, we are saying that God is not a rumor and that you can't keep him at arm's length. When we say he is risen, we are saying that God is all up in your business and that you can't sit on the fence. We aren't saying you just need to believe what we believe about some spiritual or religious thing. This isn't some human power grab or power game. It is the objective reality on which all God's promises hang. When we say he is risen, we are saying that God has spoken once for all in Jesus, and his life can be yours. He, Jesus, can be yours. When we say he is risen, we're saying death gets nothing in the end. Nothing. It doesn't get to keep any part of us, all because he is arisen. He is alive. He is alive. Heaven's gates are open wide. I'm speaking right now to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me just speak to you for a moment. Today may be a mixture of joy and fear for you, but your Savior lives. And my friends, your God reigns. We live in the hope that we will be together again to shout and praise his name, but even if not, we will be made like he is. And he will never let us go, and we will be in his presence, and we will gather there. Be encouraged. Do not be afraid, dear ones. And for all of you, let me switch gears here. If you're not following Jesus today, I'm asking you to wrestle with that simple question. Did this actually happen? If you're sitting there today or this week or 10 years from now and you realize it did, this did happen. I've looked at it. I've weighed this out. It did happen. I'm easy to find. Come talk to me. Your life cannot be the same. It will never be the same. Jesus is alive. He is alive. Hallelujah. He is alive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, come now. Call many to yourself. Don't let the moment pass. Don't let this question pop out of our heads. What if this happened? And Lord, for those of us who acknowledge that it did, fill us, encourage us, strengthen us by the immeasurable power, as Paul says in Ephesians, the immeasurable power that raised Jesus from the dead. We know that that's the power that you've given us to know, to love, to persevere, to do your work in this world. Lord, open every eye, open every ear. We can do nothing without you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We praise you and we thank you. Amen. You know, this is the time in our worship when we would normally have an offering to respond to God and to out of the out of gratitude for all that he's given us. And today we have more reasons than ever to be grateful. And so we would have an offering. God is generous beyond our wildest imaginations, and he has called us to be generous people. Not just in giving to the church, but in giving to our neighbor and giving to our cities and in being about his mission with our time and our lives and our bodies and yes, with the treasures that God has given us. And I know this is a difficult season, but God's generosity isn't just for good times. It's even more for the difficult ones. So let's grow in that. If you are someone who struggles with generosity, this is the time. This is the time when you can do that. You can always, and if you want to give to the church, you can always send a check. But we also have online giving on our website. So please go there. If you haven't made a practice of giving to the work of God's kingdom, now is the time. And if you need help getting set up with that online stuff, just let us know. We'll help you. If you're listening or if you're with us this morning and you want to receive email updates, please sign up by visiting our webpage at cccfortwayne.org. Look, I know and you know that none of us actually know when we're going to be able to gather again. But we live in the hope that we will. So keep asking yourself, what does it look like to be the people of God at a time like this? We have prayer groups. We have small groups. We we engage with our kids and our students, with prayer pals. Engage with those people in your life who don't know Jesus. Just care for them. Do whatever you can. God will open the door for you to talk about Jesus. Reach out to your neighbors, and if you ever need prayer, we're here. We're gonna sing a couple more songs together, and then as we close out, I'm gonna bring us back here, so that I can bless you as you go. So, how about we get back into it? Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace. We love you.